Blog Talk Radio.
Turn it down some here. All right, that's good there. Turn it down some. Okay, I'm unmuted. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your participation and viewing with us this evening. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. YouTube has now begun to and continue to do so. Sometimes you go back and they'll unsubscribe you under the cover of night. So go to the main page. Make sure you subscribe. If they've unsubscribed you, tell others about it. Make sure you hit the bell, the notification bell, and let YouTube know that you would like to be contacted or alerted every time the Gathering of Christ Church uploads a video or are broadcasting live, okay? So make sure you go to the main page. Go to the main page, please, and make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. Hit the bell, hit the notifications, and let YouTube know that you would like to be notified when we are broadcasting and or uploading new content. All right, so let's go here. We have Uriah has a question.
Hey, Shalom, Eldred, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you, Uriah?
I'll pray to the Most High. I'm doing fine. I was calling in for a question. I know that you was teaching about the dope calendar, and I had a question about, you said that every season you add a day or one day to divide the seasons.
Yeah, you don't add a day. It's a day that's there.
Okay.
To separate seasons, right? So
okay.
the way a season is every 13 weeks. Let me put it up in front. Hopefully you can look at your screen to see this as it was illustrated on our calendar, okay?
Okay.
Let me show you what I'm talking about. Okay? Now, as you can see here, right? Let me get rid of this here. As you see on the screen here, there's a circle, right? And in the circle, you got what? You got 30, 30, 31, right?
Okay.
30, 30, 31. Now, the one is really the intercalary day that separates the seasons or begin a new season. You got it?
Right.
So really, in actuality, right, there's really 30 days per month divided by 4 intercalary days.
Okay.
And these 4 intercalary days are what the Bible calls new month or new moons, which is the changing of season. It's quite that simple.
Okay. So I was going to ask if you could explain the scripture in Genesis 7, the 11th chapter.
Yeah. Okay, let me go there. Genesis 7, let me get the Bible with you, my brother. All right. Hold on. Okay, Genesis, let's get it. Genesis 7. Go ahead. And 11?
Yes. And it
okay,
says
Genesis.
In the...
Okay, you want me to read it?
Yeah, you can read it.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month and the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open.
Okay, and then, so, you know, the date that's given here, so if we was to go to the 8th chapter in the 3rd verse.
Okay, let me get it. And 3, let me read it. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters abated.
Yes, and next verse down.
Okay. And the ark rested in the seventh month and the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat.
All right. So the question that I was having was that I know that you were saying that these new month days were actually, divided through the season. But when we see here that, it's five months.
Okay. Well, let me make it clear. I'm not saying anything. The book of Jubilees and the book of Enoch make it clear, and I can read it for you. I'm not saying nothing. Want me to read it for you?
Yeah, no, I was just trying to get an understanding, because I know in the Torah it was just bringing this out that, it was only 150 days in between these 5 months, and you were saying every 3 months that there's an extra day, and I'm just having trouble
No. I think what you're doing is you are fighting against. Hold on, 1 second. You are actually fighting against your doctrinal upbringing, because I can easily break this down. It's simple.
Okay.
Right, and that's why the Bible says that you must learn again, which be the first oracles of God. I'm one. See, I don't have to go through these hoops and try to look at Revelation 7, Revelation 8, and try to, no. It's simple. There's 364 days in a year. Right?
From what I'm saying here in Genesis, it's 30 days a month. And then, when we go to the book of,
No, brother, I don't know if you hear me. I'm just asking you. How many days in a year?
At this time period, it was only 360. It wasn't 64 at this time until it had the title.
Okay. Oh, so that's what you thought, that it was 360. But, brother, you're incorrect, because there's 360, but what you're not counting is the intercalary days that separate that 360. So you're right. So no, it wasn't until another time, because in the book of Enoch, it states it was that way from the beginning unto eternity. So no, it's always been 364. That has never changed since before Earth. All right?
Okay.
So now what you got to do is you need to tell me, if it's 360 days in a year and the earth time is divided by Sabbaths or Jubilees, when you divide seven into 360, what do you get? Do you get an even number of sevens?
No.
But 364 you do, right? You get 52 of those, right?
Right. And that's what I was asking you, because, like, when it comes down to the Sabbath of years and 52 weeks and things of that nature, I'm having trouble seeing that scripturally. Now, I can see clearly that it's 30 days a month for all these 5 months that passed. Now, if I would have seen, like, maybe if it was 151 days or something like that, then I could see, where the Zadok calendar would fit. That's the only thing that I'm having trouble with understanding that.
Okay. Well, let me help you out. Let me help you out, young man. Number one, the Bible also breaks down, and Enoch, not the Bible in itself, but the Enoch and Jubilee makes it clear about the intercalary days. And the problem is you're counting them within the month, right? So there's 30, 30, 30. You're right with the 360. But you must add the intercalary of divisions, which is a day of itself that separates the months. And that's where you're going off. You don't understand how the intercalary days work, because they're put there to separate the seasons. So when you see 30, 30, 30, right, the months stand alone, but the intercalary sticks out. But it still must be counted within the 364-day schedule. Okay? It still must be counted. Or it throws off the time. Even the Bible says, even he told Moses, you do 364 days every year, specific, 52 Sabbaths. So in case you didn't know math, right, in case you didn't know just to add 364, he said, well, listen, I'm going to give it to you another way. 52 Sabbaths, 52 by 7 is what? 364.
Right, right.
And he says that will constitute a full year. And he says forever. It was like that from the beginning. And he says it will be like that until eternity. So, and what I did was I illustrated it. Everything that the Most High gave us, I made it simple by actually putting it out there for you to see. And see, the Most High is not he's not the author of confusion. So what you're fighting against is the program. And like I said before, young man, the same thing that brothers out there, Hebrews and all this others thought or believed, I used to teach it. I used to be there to count from the sliver of the moon and all of that and count 14 days using the moon and all that. It doesn't work.
Right.
It's wrong.
And that's what I was agreeing. I was definitely agreeing with you on that matter. I was just saying that, you know, the thing that I was asking was, you know, if these days that you said that's in between these three, if they are they their own day that's isolated, so they didn't get counted for
it.
So they didn't exist, or they didn't not exist, but no. They just didn't get counted for in 150.
Exactly. But they do exist. All right? They have always existed. They're the intercalary days, okay? Matter of fact, let me show you. If you will, hold on.
Okay.
Let me get it. See here, one moment. Let me get it here. Let me show you. Right? Now this is in the cleft notes of the pseudepigraph of the Old Testament when it comes to the Book of Jubilees, okay?
Okay.
Now, if you look at your screen, it says, if you can see here, it says solar year, 364 days. So this is a function of this. Hold on. Let me get it here so you can see it. Solar year of 364 days. This is a function of the luminaries on the outside of the earth, right? Solar is the sun. And it says here, and it give you your references. 12 months of 30 days and 4 intercalary days. 12 months, 30 days, and 4 intercalary days. Okay? And then it goes into it. It suggests that Jubilees uses two calendars, the second being a parallel of ecclesiastical year, a multiple of 7, 13 months of 28 days, right, on the great difficulties connected with the calendar for our author and a pre-Christian Judaism, see my comments, all right? So he breaks down, not only does it break down what the moon does, which is one calendar, it also breaks down what the sun does. And it's really the sun, the solar, is how we actually keep time. All right. So thank you. And I keep on learning, young man. But yes, at the end of the day, 52 Sabbaths, you can't go wrong. All right.
All right. Thank you.
My brother, you welcome. All right. Great question.
All right, Jalo.
Jalo. All right. We have Ross with a comment. Yes, Ross. Oh, no, that's Kayem. One second, Kayem. I'll be back with you. All right, Ross, I'll make sure if we do it in order, we're going to get through these, and then I have to eat. All right. Early night tonight, right? Ross has a comment.
Hey, Elder, how you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Yourself? Yes, sir.
Doing
how are
good.
You?
Doing good. Doing yes. good, Elder. As always, wonderful, you know, seeing you guys and listening to you. I think it was – as I was listening, I just took some notes, and I was going to go over them real quick. So in regards to the solar eclipse, just wanted to let you know Texas has advised that employers treat the solar eclipse like a snow day, asking for essential workers to be the only ones on the roads. And this because a large amount of out-of-state traffic is expected to where people can avoid solar eclipse, and they're expecting that to gridlock traffic. In regards to baffle and the influx of that's also where we're seeing that cities expect food shortages because of the influx of people in their town, traffic, shutting things down. Also, you know, making things less available on the shelves. The National Guards in various states are supposedly deployed at this time due to increasing threats during the solar eclipse. Before I found the truth, I was monitoring, like, the routes of the one in 2017 and how it was supposed to make an X in 2024. And I know, I don't know the right word of signs in the sky like solar eclipse, but I think that's your, you know, sentiments on it. So I was just wondering, you know, when considering like Luke 21, chapter 21, 25 through 31, what's your take on, you know, what, you know, because I know you mentioned, I can't remember the scripture, but, you know, that sends a regard a sign in the sky. Like, you know, the small hats over in the Middle East talking about red heifers now. We see that on the news. You know, what's your take on how you think, you know, our people surrounding us is going to react in the upcoming days?
All right. Very good question. But let me start off right now by saying,
yes,
and I mentioned this during the Academy, it's our God controlling the stars, the sun, the moon, and all of that. As long as I'm down with Christ, he can flip the sun, moon backwards, forwards, and have it flip, have the light, whatever he would like to do with it. But I know it's my Christ in control. Now, and this is why Jeremiah states this, right? I'm going to read this, and I'm going to show you why I'm going into the eclipse real quick. Because I believe that a lot of these things are done so that they can signal and engineer their own disasters and blame it on an eclipse. See? And I believe this is signs for them when they'll do certain things to harm the world, right? So, all in all, when you look at Jeremiah 10, and I'm going to read this. Jeremiah 10, right? 10 and 1 says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, the Gentiles, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven." So we're not going to be blown out of whack with what they're saying prophetically going to happen in the earth and all that because of an eclipse and all that. Because these are more so, if anything, signs for them to implement something new in destroying the earth. Like, for instance, the eclipse had nothing to do with that ship hitting the foundation of that bridge, bringing it down. But yet, we are hearing real time. We're hearing real time in advance, right? That map shows one of the people to stock up on food ahead of solar eclipse, as if the eclipse is going to cause something. And then it's So here it is. Think about this. The food shortage is because the farmers aren't going to be able to farm like they would normally do, because why? That the pathway for ships to bring in equipment for farming and all that have actually been interrupted through the bridge fall. So is it the eclipse the issue? Or is it the fallen bridge? Right? So also they're getting people, this is predictive programming, to accept seeing less on the shelves. And this is why they're showing reports of, here's a warning for those in Texas, right? Oklahoma, and our church is about to open in Oklahoma next week. Brother's doing a great job there. Ohio, Indiana, right? This is mainstream news. This is Newsweek. Missouri, New York, Kentucky, right? So these are the places that even the mainstream media is telling, just look for your shelves to be, you know, a little bit bare, and we're going to give you a built-in excuse to accept the fact that there's a food shortage. And we told people for years, begin to stock food, all right? Now, the next thing here is what? How did they know this in advance? I showed this in the academy. I don't even care about the sign of the X. I said, of course, that's Thy, which means death, but I know it's a signal for them to do certain things. Right? So here it is. When they say earthquakes and famine, know that this is some of the stuff they're going to engineer. So if the bridge fell, a famine is being what? Engineered.
Orchestrated. Okay.
Exactly. So for people, I don't want people to look at it and say, here's some prophetic thing where God is doing through an eclipse, and we have to look at this because this sign was there 30 years ago. We're not into that because we're not dismayed at the signs of heaven. What we're telling you is this is putting the dark elite on code on how to run something that will lead to a desolation. So now the whole international body is operating lockstep, starting with that time under geomantry. That's how they deal. When it comes to anything, disasters and all that, they deal with geomantra. And they're going to use what? They're going to use this particular eclipse as a tipping point to bring forth something next that will lead to our people suffering in the earth, in a nutshell. All right?
Yes, sir. Hey, Elder, what's your thoughts on Putin revealing that, you know, Christ was black? Like, do you think that's a...
Listen, and I'm going to go into that next week, really.
Okay.
Because at the, let me tell you, there's a thing called lesser magic amongst the dark elite, where they must tell you. So no, listen. So there's no debate anymore whether or not the Israelites are black.
Exactly.
So what Russia and other countries are doing, and guess what? He wouldn't be the first elected official who had a problem with how some of the Western world is running. He's not the first elected official who began to expose things concerning the plight of black people. Don't forget, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran said years ago, right? And I'm talking about during the Obama administration, that how can America have the moral high ground in the earth telling everyone what to do when how they're treating these people of God who believe in God in America who are black. So, brother, they've been dog whistling for a long time. And now Putin is just dropping the hammer. He's saying, well, listen, we're going to reveal this because there'll be no more debates concerning who God's people are. Folks, and they tell you, brother, I've been teaching with the Russian icons, and I have icons myself since the early 90s, right?
I remember you sharing a lot of those. I shared some of those with my family. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but the whole thing is a lot of nations now, knowing that the power is going down, their power is waning as Israelites awaken, especially as we come into Christ. And a lot of the Gentiles are trying to wash their hands of the blood, from the blood of the saints. Their hands are blood red, And they saying, listen, that same God who cursed these people are coming against us. And they're trying to wash their hands of it and say, listen, I'm trying to help them. I came out. I told everybody they were the people. And I couldn't get on CNN and tell you. But how much better way than to show you the pictures that were hidden vaults? Okay? So a lot of these nations now are exposing what the world always knew but couldn't say. And you would have a lot of these leaders are saying, since the pendulum of power is swinging, and it's swinging to our side, brother, believe it or not.
I agree.
They know, brother, they know that the invisible, the powers that be, the angels are fighting for us and are binding the gods they serve in a realm war. They know the pendulum is swinging, and a lot of them are just trying to be on the right side of a blessing instead of a curse. And I believe
they have to see it all over their face. Well, I was just going to say, you can see it all over their face when they're, you know, making political statements. Hey, Elder, and I've also noticed that, you know, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, they really tie into what's going on in the Middle East. And they're talking about, you know, like the red heifers and stuff like that and how, you know, Christians should wake up because it's in the Talmud. And we know that's not what the scriptures say. So where is this prophecy from red heifers being sacrificed coming from?
Listen, it comes down to this, right? It's just what they're doing more so is showing the ignorance of Christians when it comes to prophecy. The last people out here concerning an end-day prophecy, right? The last people as a Christians that I would listen to concerning end-day prophecy are people who deny that Christ is Messiah. So why should I believe anything else they're saying? So what they're doing is they're just misdirecting ignorant Christians. Instead of Christians looking at Matthew 24 to get directed in prophecy, they listen to the people who are against Christ. So that's proven, in of itself that these Christians are off the path. Should you be listening to the people who are against Christ or listen to Christ in Matthew 24? And where in Matthew 24 do Christ say, look for the sign of the red heifer?
I've never seen that anywhere. No, sir.
Thank you. So you can't make sense of nonsense. And that's what happens when Christians aren't looking at the Bible anymore. They let the Antichrist is deceiving them. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Elder.
Have a good night. Great call,
Ross.
All right,
bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Great call. All right, we have Kayem. We're just going to drill through these. And brothers and sisters, I'm hungry. I got to eat, so I apologize if I can't stay all night, but I was here nice and early so that I can relax. All right? All right. I'm still fighting, but not really. I'm not really sick or anything like that. I feel great, actually. But you know how it's still some stuff settling in your chest. I just got to get that last bit out. But I thank you for your continued prayers. Many people sending me remedies all online and all that, saying, I'll tell you, boy, you talking about some concoctions. Our people were the healers before there was any such thing as pharmacy. I'll tell you that. Someone told me to take some honey and ginger and shake it and throw a few cloves of garlic in it, heat it up. I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I'm all right. Okay? I'm good. Hey, brother, since I ain't going nowhere, right? I'm good. All right, Kayem, talk to me, my brother.
Yes, sir. All praises are higher, Elder. Hey, they send you everything, huh? But that's that love, sir. Elder, I just wanted to say just a few things. Like for those who have ears, they should be able to hear, because we have eyes, we can see what's going on. Elder, even far as with Puffy and even with the bridges, from a standpoint, I see that this is making even like the brother just said, Christians to have to understand what is their foundation. You know what I mean? Because if you don't have Christ as your foundation, you're going to be utterly destroyed, meaning that you have to have the whole matter, you have to have the doctrine, and you have to love his Father. Because even Christ said that, you know, he that do the will of my Father, you know what I mean, that he loves. And Elder, it's a scripture, Ephesians 2:20. And I just want to read it real quick so you can go through. It says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua Christ himself being the chief. So if Christians don't understand what's going on and really understand that they have to read the scriptures and take it as it is written and accept Christ as it is written, the whole matter, not just Paul's or like what you just brought out, the philosophy that is being, because they are easy to be persuaded into deceit because they refuse to hearken to the Most High or higher. So, Elder, I see that bridge and all that stuff from my standpoint is that the foundation of this world is being destroyed. And everybody need to get on board this ark. And brother and sister, get into the academy because, for one, we're going to need our leadership. And the thing is, you have to put in because your cardinal things is what is needed to get our kingdom. And that's all I got to say, Elder.
Thank you, brother. And I'll see you in the next academy, right? My brother.
Oh, yeah, always.
All right. Shalom, Kayam. You always bring some very insightful, motivating commentary. So I really appreciate you. All right.
Yes,
thank you. All right, Sunshine, you got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes. Hit it. Come on, hit it. Because I got a lot of people in front of you. Come on. Let's do it.
Okay. Elder's wild. It's a straight dumbing down to dim the light. We, as the children of Israel, are unto the world. And it's an obsessive goal to try to subdue the many gifts and talents bestowed upon us with purpose to praise the Most High, our Father in heaven. And the measures used are indeed crafty and of dark counsel, a slow injection that attempts to crush hope, motivation, and in extreme cases, the very will to live on in such a trying and blessed time, and where the witness of this time is what the prophets long to see. And the conspirators have used such tools, so many tools, as the so-called social programs to reprogram the communities, turn what we do naturally in heavenly order and righteous creativity to crime. They've made men and women desensitized to love and family and wholesomeness, or feel crazy to desire love onto legacy, and rather have them support the popularity concepts of debauchery and liberalism. And there's a worldwide wicked heart of darkness and keeping of old leaven that's going on with the media drivel and droves of lies that they use to spill and spew constant venom into our neighborhoods through more proud hirelings or witches and warlocks, and use the churches of the harlots to do so. And the wars continue on down to the squeezing out of the superb health and wellness that we used to have. They've used trickery replacing our health and wellness with conjured poisons to nurse sleepiness and confusion so that we can barely function in this earth that has become full to tilt bombardment in Jacob's trouble. But by grace of the Most High, we know that all things work for the good of those who love our Father, Ahia, and those who sing for darkness and sing or preach lies for Satan, even in signs and wonders. They will have themselves muzzled and turned back. Everything will be turned back on them, and they'll stand in utter confusion and astonishment at our rise, regardless of the strongest attempts. But we who, by grace, sing praises to the Most High are no more abased, and will be exalted, and those who seek evil and do wickedness throughout the world will continue to bide their time until the letting is done, and those who seek truth unto the kingdom through Christ will stand firm, not tossed or dismayed, but come what may, an exceeding great army will be that none would ever be able to deny, because our Father loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so by his promise he so loved us, and so God forbid we stumble, but we will never fall. And all praise be to the Most High. That's all
here
I wanted to say, Elder. Shalom.
Bless you.
Shalom.
There goes Sunshine. Shalom, Sunshine. Shalom. Hey, girl, something else. Hey, she's on point, though. All right, let's go down the line. I'm going to drill through these. Please make your comments short, if possible. Keep it within 2 minutes. We have Murphy with a question.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing well, Murphy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. So my question is pertaining to the crucifixion of Jesus. Was
yeah.
he So the question is, was he crucified on the Passover or after the Passover?
He was crucified right before the sun came in, which is Friday night. Right before Friday night came down, the sun. Right before the sun went down and the night was coming in, he gave up the ghost, which is what you would call Friday night.
Oh, so he wasn't crucified in the middle of the week?
When you say the midst of the week, I think that's where you're getting confused, because the midst of the week, when you look at that week, and I'm going to pull it up here for you, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me show you. How long have you been following the church?
I've been following the church for maybe like 3 years now.
Okay, yeah. So let me show you.
But I've been observing like the feast and the holy days for over 9 years.
All right. Okay, because, yeah, we've been breaking this down for years, especially when we started going into really drilling home the importance of the calendar, and we kept it in many lessons. But since brothers and sisters really started understanding, right, the time, we don't teach it all the time, right? Let me show you something. Let me show you something here. Right? Now, let me show you. 1 second. I'm going to pull up the Bible. Now, when it goes into the resurrection, Matthew 28, right? It says, in the end of the Sabbath, right, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, right? But when you look,
yeah,
when you look at the text, brother, let me make sure I have your name, Murphy. When you look at the text, the word day isn't there. The first of the week. So what does that mean? Well, when you go into, right, the Greek for week, let me show you. That gives you, let me pull it up here so you can see it. So it wasn't the first day of the week, and that's what Christians use to say, well, we changed the Sabbath to Sunday because it's the first day of the week, when it doesn't. In the Hebrew, it's what? It's Sabbaton, right? The Sabbath, that is the day of weekly repose from secular obligations. Now, the one I want to show you in particular, hold on, let me show you, right? We tell you it's an interval between Sabbaths. It says the interval between two Sabbaths. See that? So what is happening here is, if you have the Passover when Christ was crucified, there's how many intervals between Passover and first fruit? You have 7 intervals. So it's telling you the interval between two Sabbaths in between the week is when Christ rose, between two Sabbaths. You got it?
Oh, so Christ rose in the midst of the week.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Okay.
Between two,
so
two
the confusion
Sabbaths.
With, so the confusion about him rising on the eve of the Sabbath, that's incorrect.
Well, it's incorrect the way they're teaching.
Okay.
Because you have to think about this. Right? Friday sundown. How many days you got between Friday and sundown, right? It can't be Sunday, correct?
Yeah, it can't be
so
Sunday.
Thank you. So if he gave up the ghost, you go Friday sundown to Saturday sundown one day. Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown, 2 days. Sunday sundown to Monday sundown, 3 days. So it would be somewhere between Monday and Tuesday, he was already rose. It have nothing to do with Sunday. And when you go into the Greek, it becomes crystal clear. Sunday is not even in the mix. Okay? It's between two intervals. Yeah, there's seven intervals. And it's hard for a Christian to understand it because they don't follow Passover or first fruits. So they don't know about the what? The seven intervals between Passover and first fruits. So when they see first day of the week there, they don't know it's saying the first interval between two Sabbaths.
So they deliberately put the day on it to misguide us.
Exactly. They put the word day there, which wasn't in the original text, so that they can actually justify switching the Sabbath from what? From Sabbath to Sunday. And the day, and that word day wasn't even in the text.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, my brother. Bless you. Carol has a comment and or question. Carol?
Shalom.
Shalom, sister. I'm drilling through, so 2 minutes.
I know, and I'm making very quick. I'm ill. I'm suffering myself, Elder. And I've been praying for you as well for a speedy recovery.
Thank you.
And I just have one quick thing to say.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah,
for
I know, because you got the Most High God.
Oh,
you're all good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the name of Josiah, and so do I, because I've been dwelling through this as well. And I know you want to get home and relax. That's what you need.
I want to eat.
Okay,
this
is a quick thing. You know, I haven't gotten my calendar, Elder, and I ordered it January 8th.
Okay, don't worry about that. What I'm going to do right now.
I emailed them again today, though.
Oh, don't worry about it. I got something for you right here.
And I got some exciting news. Okay, go ahead.
What's the exciting news? Go ahead.
GOCC, I spoke with Deacon right after you guys got back from the awesome Passover. Oh, wow. It was awesome. And I thank you. You were honest with your word. You said that the ones that weren't able to make it, that we would be able to watch the whole entirety. Oh, it was really, really awesome. I'm ready to get my hands on the plow. I'm ready to get baptized. So I did my Zoom class last night for the Bible study. And hopefully next week we'll start the baptism classes. But I'll be going on this Shabbat. He already got me set up with someone picking me up. But I just want to say that, and I just want to thank you and Elder Lawyer and the whole team. I love you guys, all of you. And I mean, GOCC, you rock.
All praise.
And I will be in the academy. I love the academy. That's where the Most High worked with me the most, with the academy that grounded me, and I am grounded. And I recommend anyone, please get into the academy.
Oh,
you
thank
won't regret
you, sister.
It.
Yeah.
And
let
you
me tell
feel
you,
better.
Let me tell you, sister. I was under withdrawals, having to keep 1 week off between the Passover. I love the academy. You know we were.
You guys were having a ball in Charlotte.
But
one minute.
Thank you. Let me make sure I have your phone number right here. I'm looking at it now. Right?
Yes.
All right. So you'll receive a call between tonight and tomorrow.
Don't let it be you. You get you some rest. Not you.
Someone else.
No,
it's going to be Brother James, because he's responsible for the administration of sending out the calendars. And he's going to ask you your address, and we're going to overnight it to you, okay?
Okay. Fair enough.
Right,
Shalom. Please get some rest, Elder. We love you.
I will. Thank you. Bless you.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Okay. It's confirmed he got the message. get her done. All right, Javon has a comment. We're going to try to drill through these. Yes, Javon. Javon? Okay, no one's there, so let's go to the next.
Hello?
Yes, how are you, sir? Yes, how are you, sir? Javon?
Hey, good evening, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. What say you?
Okay, I'm going to make this one very, very quick because I know what time it is. So it's interesting that you brought out what you brought out tonight about the bridge. And if you ask me, I think this is Bill Gates' way of, I guess, using it as like an execution move. Because I remember a couple months ago, there were a bunch of trackers lined up.
Okay, let me say something real quick because they have our channel on Sirius.
I'm sorry about that, Elder.
It's fine. We just can't, in good faith, allow an accusation to be put out there unfounded. So we can speculate on Patreon if we would like, but not on this. Because believe it or not, one of my channels got... This channel got striked last year because they said that when I brought out something, I was bullying Bill Gates. So, and they said that in some of the information that he's a protected figure.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah, it was in the notes of, I'm like, well, hold up, I'm just telling you what's going on out there. They're like, nah, he's a protected figure and Bill Gates, it says you bullied Bill Gates. So I'm leaving him alone on this channel. All right?
Okay, yes, sir. So hey. I'll make it really quick. What I will say is we don't have the percentage of farmers that we used to have, you know, in the country. So with this happening, it's going to hurt and hit it real hard. I think it's going to hurt them a lot harder than it would have maybe 20, 30 years ago when we had more farmers.
Yes. But I think the most side that we have farmers even within the church, you know, and, you know, we got some farmland and, you know, we're going to do what we can. We're going to preserve what we can to help as many people as we can. But I would say brothers and sisters have to start throwing some seeds on their own gardens and just making it work.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? They can find an old lot somewhere around where you live at and just throw some seeds out there and come back and get some potatoes and onions. And some of that stuff that grows under the ground, you can just throw your seeds out there under there, and you can go through and just pick up your own food sometime. Don't let no one know you got it over there. And, make it work. All right?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, my brother.
Thank you for everything, Elder. You know, I've been following you since literally probably say about 5 or 6 years. So when it comes to all the dates and counts, I've never had questions. Israelites, they need to stop searching and surfing YouTube like it's a television, you know, that's the issue. You know,
yeah.
Surfers, and that's why they have so many questions.
Well, it's okay. That's what I'm here for, and I just want brothers and sisters to know that I'm not here to fight and debate something I know already, you know? And it's just that they probably didn't understand the history of the fact that what they're fighting for. I'm gonna place you on hold there. I don't think they have the history to know that what they're defending, I was actually following myself, okay? And I was actually counting from the slither of the moon and all these things years ago to determine Passover. So they probably didn't know that where they are, I was there decades ago. And, you know, and I'm not bragging. It's just the truth. I know what they're trying to bring forth. I know why they want to bring it forth. And it's time for them to open themselves to something different. We were lied to. And that's all. All right, let's go down the line. Only got a few more to go through. Grace has a comment and or question. I'm going to answer about two or three more, and then that will conclude our broadcast for this evening. And for those who didn't make it in, you can just call back on Patreon Day, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you when we unpack this coming Friday, Candace Owens' conversation with the rabbi. Okay? We're going to unpack that this Patreon. You don't want to miss that one. All right. Okay, Grace has a comment and or question.
Yes, Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. I find it interesting how the bridge opened on March the 23rd in 1977. And then like 47 years later, on March the 26th, it's closed.
That's interesting.
Yeah, right? I mean, we're talking 5 years to build it. 47 years later, it's closed. They opened it, you know, and then they closed it. And so that's my comment. And my question, do what?
Oh, well, you have to realize strategically where some of these bridges are located too.
Yes.
And if you notice, like if you're going to, just say if there's an emergency situation where troops are operating, right? Uh-huh. On a free country like America, you have posse comitatus where you cannot have a standing army against citizens, policing citizens within its borders. But if a bridge is gone and something happens, then when they go through the tunnel, it's almost like going through what? A stop pole. Mm. Like they would have a control bridge so they can actually approve or not let, you know, to actually funnel people as you go through like a military would do, right? Like one of those stop things they be doing with the military and all that, or the police, like they used to do in the inner cities when they would just have these random tests for alcohol and all that at night. Well, now they don't have to worry about that because there's no bridge. Everyone will be funneled through almost like a military type of screening put in place. And don't forget, there was a bridge that fell not too long ago in North Philadelphia all of a sudden. And that happened early in the morning while everyone is at work around the same time. I don't know if y'all remember that. And all of these bridges are strategically, conveniently, right outside of poor neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping my eye on that. I'll keep my eye on that. Right?
Yeah.
But thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And my question, quick question is, oh, and by the way, I'm enjoying the Academy. I'm signing up for the next one.
Thank you. Hold on. I'm sorry, Grace. Go ahead.
Oh, Grace? Sorry. I was going to ask, I was going to ask when there might be a next baptismal or something like that. Without getting into the details, I certainly want to. I've been trying to do that, and I missed one recently. I was wanting to see what you could do for me on that.
Oh yeah, it's checkpoints. You're right, Judah Black. It's the checkpoints they used to set up. So this is a convenient way of doing checkpoints without implementing them. I'm glad you used the word. You know, it missed me for a second. Now, when you talk about baptism real quick, what city and state? Where do you live?
Well, I'm in Texas. And I've been, like I said, I didn't really want to talk about online about that, but I was just trying to.
Just send us an email showing your location, right? gathering@AOL.com. And and one of the elders will get back with you, or bishop, to get you started towards baptism. That's no problem. We'll help with that.
Perfect. I will do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you. And because you're in the Academy, you can also send a note to the Academy, the Academy email, and we can funnel it that way, either way. So do both, and, you know, so that we can get someone to you as soon as possible. All right?
Sounds great. I'll do it. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. And thanks for being a loyal academite. Thank you.
I love it. I love it. And right. I'm anxious.
Thank you.
I'll see you on Sunday. Right.
Thank you, sister. I'll see you Sunday. All right.
All right. Shalom. Goodbye.
All right. Gabriella, going down the line. Gabriella. Thank you, sister. Gabriella. Shalom. I want to eat. I want to eat some food. I'm hungry, but I'll sacrifice for y'all these next few phone calls. Talk to me.
I really appreciate it. So I do have same question with the previous sister. I'm located in Miami, and I sent an email to you guys a few days ago asking if you guys have a location here and also if you'll be providing baptism in our area.
Yeah.
But I haven't received any feedback just yet.
Okay, don't worry about that. We got something right here. All right, hold on. Boom. It is. We have to get these saints ready, because once we're covered with that baptism, get ready for that Babylonian bounce. So, you know. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Send an email to GOCCSouth@yahoo.com. Isn't it Yahoo, Elder? Toya?
Yes, sir.
GOCCSouth@yahoo.com, sister. And just mention that you spoke to me online, you're in Miami, you would like to be baptized, and I'll have Elder Fresnel reach out to you. Abinazar, reach
all
out
right.
to you, all right?
Yes, all right. Perfect. Bless. And I did have one comment, actually.
Okay, go for it.
Just based on the information as I'm listening, it's as if, like, the elite, their plans work in tandem with the Most High, because who else would fulfill the prophecies in the Bible if not the elite? I don't know if that, like, really makes sense, but when I sit and I think about what the global elite is doing, how they have to orchestrate certain events in order to fulfill Bible prophecy, it's like, everything that they're doing is destructive. So it just, it's like a balance of energy, if that makes sense. I don't know, like perceiving it.
Well, that's one way of viewing it. But the other way of viewing it is when Christ was talking about what would come upon the world in the end days, he was actually tipping us off to what the enemy would be doing, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people think when they see these things, oh, that's God, and that's God doing this and all that. No, Christ was letting us know the enemy is going to be doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be causing friction where there's no peace in your house, like it was during COVID when some families was agreeing with their solution and others weren't. That was an outside force causing conflict in the home. And then when he says earthquakes in diverse places, like when he started fracking for natural gas in the United States, and come to find out a lot of these places where they are fracking for natural gas, right, they started breaking open the earth, and now there's earthquakes in these same areas. So what was Christ was talking about, because don't forget, at the end of the prophecy, he talked about how they would come against our people in a desolation. Mm-hmm. Well, that happened in 70 AD, right? So he's tipping us off to what the enemy is planning to do to get rid of Jacob. So in a nutshell, from that prophetic scenario, it's understood, right? These are prophecies of how the enemy would continually conspire against the children of Israel, and Christ was tipping us off concerning some of their ideologies or some of their plans against us. So when you see this, because he's telling us what the enemy is going to do. All right? So in that way, a lot of these prophecies on their part is self-fulfilling. It isn't natural. These are the plans that they have to come against the children of Israel. All right?
Yeah, and it's like it's leading everyone to the lake of fire who's participating. So, you know, with all the elitists who are participating, don't they know that the devil is going to lose by default? You know,
sister, it's like this, though. This is what happens when you sacrifice your morality. It leaves you, these people have done so much evil, they become soulless. That's number one. Number two, there's a scenario in which under the Luciferian doctrine, they are taught that Christ loses in the next war and that Lucifer will actually set up his kingdom in heaven. And they'll rule throughout the cosmos under the Luciferian doctrine of the elite. So they believe Christ loses the next war, the War of Armageddon. So they got a reverse Bible. And a lot of them believe it.
Wow.
So, right? So that's where that's it also. They've been indoctrinated. So think about it. You got people who are Satanists who believe that what they're doing and all of that is just regular old religion. Bloodletting, dealing with all types of sexual perversions and all these other things, it's a part of their religion. So if they become reprobate, they become soulless. And then you got the elite telling them, well, don't worry about it because here's a different Bible, the Luciferian Bible, where the Baphomet rules from heaven, okay?
Yeah. So it's delusional. And I would say that the Most High led me to your platform most recently, because I've actually experienced something that I wish I can actually share with you, because it wasn't until I got the right truth coming from your platform, like the ends, all my loose ends were tied basically. Like spiritually, I was searching for specific answers, because I grew up in a Christian church, you know, that's pagan. So everyone is more like fluffy and airy. They're not really getting into the meat of the Bible. They don't really understand it. So when you actually present them with a spiritual situation, they don't know how to resolve it. So it wasn't until I kept asking the Most High, just show me the truth. And I found videos that correlate to my personal life that helped me answer so many questions. And I've been led back to the Most High. And that's why I'm inquiring about baptism and a church in my location, because I really want to be connected to the right body, you know, because I've been under a spell for most of my life. And, you know, I woke up. So I'm just really grateful.
Sister, the awakening, what happened to you happened to all of us. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the body of Christ.
Thank you.
We're going to answer that. And hey, you'll be celebrating Passover with us next year if it be the Most High's will, right? So, welcome to the work. All right, I'm going to place you on hold. Well, you're welcome, and we want to make sure someone reach out to you. And, hey, that's how the Most High is gathering his people, right, bringing us together. 929, we have Joseph with a question.
Good night, Elder. Good night, Elder.
Good night,
Yeah,
how are you, Joe?
A question for you. How you sum up Babylon the Great to be consist of America and not the whole world itself?
Okay, this is how.
That's my question for you.
Very, very great question, right? Right, because the world, in essence, is Babylon, right? So it's not either one or the other. But why in specific we're talking about America, right? When you go to Psalms 137, right?
Yes.
Right? Because Rome, the whole religious system under the papacy is Babylonian, right? So Italy is Babylon too. But why in specific is it talking about the fall of America when you read Revelations 18, where they are beholding them? When you look at Psalms 137, let me read it real quick. All right? Psalms 137, right? And, you know, you sound Caribbean, right?
Yes, sir. I am Caribbean.
Yeah, I can tell. So the whole deal is, Benjamin have been talking about the fall of Babylon for how long, and Babylon by the river of Babylon. We sung about Babylon or the fall of Babylon in our Negro spirituals over here. But when you go into Psalms 137, check this out.
Yeah.
By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Right? And how do you
towards Zion is the Ark of the Covenant. That's what we sum that up to be. Zion. We remember Zion.
Okay. You have to work with me, because I can't teach and fight against your indoctrination, too.
No.
What I'm saying is, where does it say that Zion is the Ark of the Covenant?
Because the Ark of the Covenant represent Zion.
Hey, brother, I need you to relax for a second and listen to me real good, right?
Well, I answer you.
I know, but in order for you to answer me, you have to answer my question, right? You're not answering my question. I asked in specific, where in the Bible that states the Ark of the Covenant is Zion? Where can I find that in the Bible?
It's in the Old Testament because that's where the Spirit of God dwell in,
okay.
in the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
And God is Zion.
Sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to get to proving America's Babylon the way this is going. Because I'm asking you, where
mm-hmm.
in the Bible again? I got a Bible in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the Bible that states the Ark of the Covenant is Zion? Where?
Well, that will be a lot more detail because you say you don't have to go to Egypt, so I don't want to stay on that. I would
okay.
rather talk about
okay.
Babylon the
well,
Great
well,
because
okay,
you
sir.
Speak of all the stuff that's in her. So all that stuff that the Revelation 18.
Sir, I'm going to place you on hold, okay? Because when you begin to over-talk without edifying, that confuses people. The answer to that, sir, is that there is no place in the Bible that states that Zion is the Ark of the Covenant. That doesn't exist. And then it leads to another question. If it doesn't state that, why are you saying that? Because I only deal with what? The Bible as it is written. The Bible states, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You can't philosophize your way through this Bible and hope that someone will understand what you're saying. The Bible wasn't meant to be understood that way. Okay? So I'm going to give you another shot. Please do not overtalk so that we can edify, because this is not a conversation between you and I. We need to edify for the people who's listening. And we can't do that if questions aren't answered exactly. So I'm going to try it once more. Okay, Joseph, I had to place you on hold. Okay? You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I only need you to answer specific questions without running into something else. Is that possible?
All right.
So there is no place in the Bible that states that the Ark of the Covenant is Zion, is it?
It does represent
okay.
Zion.
Okay. How do you prove that?
Because the reason for that is that's where the Spirit of God dwells, and God is Zion.
Sir,
God.
I'm going to ask you, sir.
Sir,
no. You listen. There's a Bible in front of me, and I'm not going to allow you to answer me outside of the Bible because that's where the Ark of the Covenant is spoken at. Within the book itself. So you want me to believe what you're saying it is? Or do you want the Bible to tell me that's what it is? Because I believe that that's how both of us come on one accord. If we can both see what we're saying out of the word. What say you? Don't you think that's how we come on one accord?
So can I ask what the psalm means
sir,
when he says, who remembers Zion?
Sir,
can I
sir,
ask you that
listen. Listen, it means what it means, but I'm not going to go someplace else because I have to show you the error of how you're viewing the word of God. You're not the first one who've come with this ideology. I know where it's from. Okay? I know the origin of it. But I'm trying to have you understand you need to break your programming, sir, because you're wrong. Right now, I have the Bible up for both of us. And when I go Ark of the Covenant, I taught on the Ark of the Covenant this weekend. The Ark of the Covenant, right, in search, and I type in Zion, right? It comes
yeah.
up and says, it says what? It says absolutely nothing. It says this cannot be found in the Bible. Zero verses found in the search. Okay? So now.
Yeah.
So let's first agree that there's no place in the Bible where it says the Ark of the Covenant, Zion, is the Ark of the Covenant. Let's agree there.
All right. Okay. I'll go with your thing if you say.
Thank you. Now, now going back to the original question you asked me. How is it that America is Babylon, especially the city that all the merchants come to to glory in. Right? This is why immigrants and everything else like to come upon America, because it's the greatness or the beacon of the world. Let me read. This is speaking of remembered Zion. Zion is Israel. It's God's people. That's who Zion is. We hang our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. That means, now listen. For there they that carried us away captive, that's future, our people going into slavery. This couldn't have been during David's time because we weren't in captivity at that time. For they that carried us away captive required us a song. That's your Negro spirituals. And they that wasted us required us mirth. They required us to smile and dance while we were entertaining them, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Songs of Zion, right? Like what Barb Marley sung, songs of Zion. We sung, Moses, let our people go. Swing low, sweet chariot. But when you go to the willows, when you go to the willow tree, it so happens the willow tree in of itself has a name. The willow tree was called the Babylonicus. The willow tree is called the Babylonicus, right? And you can find these in only two separate areas on earth, either in the Orient. There's a few in the Orient, which is in Asia, but the majority of these trees you can find down south of the Americas. I know, I grew up down south. My family is from down south, and the willow trees drapes over, and you can hide yourself. They drape so low. And guess what? The willow tree is called the what? The Babylonicus. The Babylonicus, right? So even the tree itself states that that particular tree has some connection to Babylon. Now, what happened while we were in, we were led away captive. Let me finish reading. Right?
Yeah.
It reads, we hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive. What did they require? Though, it tell you right here. For there, that means a new land, they that carried us away captive, they were the white people or the Edomites, required us a song. And they that wasted us required us mirth, smiling and dancing, for those who've enslaved us, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. That's Negro spirituals. Where was Negro spirituals created? Was it created anywhere in the earth, or was it created in the south where our people were serving in America, sir?
Okay.
Now, more. Okay. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget the old Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, not Africa. We're from Jerusalem. And then the Bible states, it even highlights the people who would be responsible for carrying us away captive. Okay. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom. These are Edomites who are responsible for it. In the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundations thereof. So we know the Romans are Edomites. And then it distinctly say, well, this is not just a regular Babylon. This is old daughter of Babylon. All right. She's the daughter of the ancient Babylon. That's America. Who art to be destroyed. Okay? So keep on coming through. Keep listening. And you'll realize it's not just the world being Babylon. This actually is honing in on something and magnifying something more prophetic outside of just the world being Babylon. It's speaking of the daughter of Babylon. You can't say the world is Babylon, and then it says, okay, well, who's the daughter of Babylon then? That's America. America has influenced the world. That's the daughter. Well, thank you, my brother. You have a great night, and continue to learn with us. We're getting someplace, all right? Shalom.
All right, man.
My brother. My brother from the same mother. All right. I'm sorry I cannot take any more calls. I have to eat. I'm past the hour. May the Most High be with you. If I miss your call, don't worry about it. Come in for Patreon, and I'll be more than happy to continue where we left off. Academy in a couple of weeks. I want to see you there, historytimes.org. And through that, the theme is how to make it through Jacob's trouble. It's time. Go to historytimes.org. If you want to support us, you have it right there, $GOCC144Donate if you have Cash App. If you don't have Cash App, it's okay. Go to gatheringofchrist.org under donation, and I'm sure there's an option there that you can help support this work because there's much work to be done. With that, may the Most High be with you. His name is Ahiah. We're the children of Israel in the name of Yeshaya, children of Israel, and we're back. Thank you, Elder Lawyer, for all you do to help support the work. Young man, you can get some rest. And you all have a pleasant evening. Shalom.
Yes, sir. Shalom.